Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.
Many of you will be familiar with the groundbreaking work of the Burren Life Project, which advocates sustainable farming methods and more in the Burren. Now it is in line for a major European award, and you're being urged to help them across the line. As part of the 25th anniversary celebrations, the EU Commission has organised a competition for best projects in a range of categories over the past quarter of a century, and Burren Life and the farming for conservation aspect of this is one of those chosen to represent the best of the best. I'm joined in studio by Carol Gleeson. She's the manager of the Burren and Cliffs Moher Geopark, and Brendan Dunford, Dr. Brendan Dunford. He's the programme manager for the farming part of the Burren Life. Good morning to you both, and thanks so much for joining us this morning. Brendan, first of all, I have to say well done. This sounds a wonderful accolade, even just to be nominated.
Yeah, it's fantastic. There's about 4,500 projects have been funded over the years through the Life Fund. And the Burren is down to the last 15 of those. So it's basically saying that what's happened here in the Burren through the Farming for Conservation programme and through the hard work of the farmers over the last, I suppose, nearly 20 years now, has been really recognised at European level as being one of the best projects there is out there. So I think it's not just a credit to the project team who've been working on the project for so long, but more importantly, to the partners, National Parks and Wildlife Service, Department of Agriculture have been supportive, Tagusk and the IFA, and most particularly the farmers with whom we worked over the years and still continue to work. I think they're the ones for whom this award is really significant.
The basic aim of the scheme is to preserve the Burren and to support farmers in using, as I understand it, methods that protect the valuable and probably fragile environment around them. And it's been a runaway success.
Yeah, it's a very simple idea, basically, Gavin. We figured that the Burren has been shaped for 6,000 years by farming, by the hand of man. And if we want to look after this remarkable landscape, the habitats, the archaeology, the geological features, we need to engage with farmers. We need to promote positive farming activity and suppress negative farming activity. And we've done that. And how we've done it is we've basically asked the farmers, well, what do we do here? What do we need to do? Then we've brought the best scientific input to support that. And we've brought some funding from Europe in to pilot some of the ideas at a ground level. And it's worked wonderfully well. It's a very simple idea. But because different people have engaged with it in a very strong way, in a really strong partnership, it's just worked very well. And I suppose these awards and these shortlistings are important, and they really are. 15 out of 4,000 is amazing. But I think what's more important is that the project itself has led to the leveraging of additional funding from the Department of Agriculture and now from the European Commission. So at the moment, we're hoping in the next few years, as a result of the project, the Burren Life Project, to be bringing in at least 3 million per annum into the pockets of farmers in the Burren into the future. So that's huge. That's the real prize here.
That's very significant for an area like that. It's a huge amount of money, and I couldn't tell you the amount of times I've seen articles from generally other parts of Ireland where they look to this model and they want to steal it, basically.
Well, we're very happy to share it, because really we're all about the same thing here. I suppose farmers all across Ireland, they produce food, but farming is more than about just food production. It's about producing biodiversity in landscapes. It's about water quality when it's done right. And I suppose the Burren Life Project developed a model through which that can be done, and it's based on common sense and respect and partnership. And I suppose we're very happy to share it. We have farmers from all over Europe coming to see us and to meet us and to visit us all the time to find out what we've done, and I think they're all taken aback by how simple it is and how well it's worked.
Carol Gleeson, good morning to you.
Good morning,
and thanks
Gavin.
for joining us. This is a very impressive one as well, obviously, and one that an area can take pride in.
Yes, absolutely. And the Farming for Conservation project was very influential for our particular project as well when we applied for EU funding under the Life programme for what we now call Geopark Life. And we looked at how Brendan was working with the farmers and, you know, trying to get the whole kind of conservation ethos embedded in what they do. And we tried to apply that with the tourism businesses in the Burren. And also in how, you know, agencies work together as well, you know, for tourism and conservation. So, it definitely influenced us. So we've been working on this particular project, the Life Programme, since 2011, and it's just finishing up this year.
And has the farming aspect of it made people more willing to get on board with what you were trying to do? Or has that ethos of protecting the Burren always been very strong locally?
I think it has been strong, but in terms of tourism, you know, the link, let's say, between the impact of tourism on an environment like the burn, you know, has been something that, you know, that has been a kind of a topic of conversation for quite some time. But under the LIFE programme, you know, we were able to try and kind of bring all of the people together around the table and say, right, well, how are we going to kind of really work on this and work on it collectively so that the tourism businesses are working with the agencies and that the agents, the tourism agencies are working with the conservation agencies as well. So it was, you know, it's been a big learning curve. But the fact that Brendan's project has been so successful and, you know, there was so much buy-in by the local farmers for that particular project, it really gave us confidence that the same thing could happen with the tourism businesses in the burn, and it has.
And what successes have you seen?
Well, the network, right? We set up the network in 2008, and that really has gone from strength to strength, and it's now at the stage where it can stand on its own 2 feet and be really quite independent. And, you know, with all of the training that we've been doing as well, we've had a whole range of different projects that have come out of it. You know, for example, like Adopt a Hedgerow project, where, you know, the local tourism businesses, you know, do cleanups in their area. They adopt a stretch of road for their business or whatever, and they maintain that. And also this whole idea of the mehel, that the tourism businesses would actually go on farmers' lands that have been used for tourism purposes and help, you know, with, you know, in association with Burn Bio, the conservation agency in the Burn, that it's, you know, that there's a lot of kind of payback, I suppose, back into the community as well. And then the idea that, you know, tourism and conservation agencies will actually work together and look at the impacts of tourism in a very holistic way. And that, you know, the Fáilte Ireland programme is being influenced by what we do in terms of how, you know, when you develop a programme in an area that is of high conservation value, you have to think long term and you have to plan and manage the environment as much as the tourism business itself in that area. So it's a kind of like a way of thinking that there's been a gradual mind shift really on how.
And that's exactly what the point I was going to make, was you have the network and you have farmers farming this particular way, but and that's important from a kind of an organisational point of view. But if you change people's approach, if you make them think about things in a different way, then the legacy in particular that you're looking for in terms of the environment, Brendan, that hopefully gets even stronger again. Then it's not just the nuts and bolts of what's on paper, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think talk is fine, but I think action is what we need. The Burn is a very special place. I guess every place is special to somebody, but at a global level, the Burn is a very special place. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to look after it as best we can. Mm. From where I sit and from where I stand, I suppose, we can't do that without the farming community. That's fundamental. I think we'll never have a vibrant tourism economy, for instance, unless the landscape itself is looked after. We'll never have a healthy environment in the Burn, a rich biodiversity, unless the farming community are supported to deliver that. So I think, for me, fundamentally, farming is the essence of the Burn. It's the future of the Burn. We want to support farmers to continue on there when they do the right thing. Negative farming can have very bad consequences as well. Arising from that, I think then, and where Carol's project comes in, is we need to try and make tourism as sustainable as possible in a very meaningful way. That's environmentally sustainable, socially sustainable, and economically sustainable. And those are all very challenging things to do, as you know yourself. There's many forces within and without which mitigate against that. But our focus here in Burn Life remains fundamentally about farming and the conservation of the landscape and of the communities within that landscape. Because I suppose if we look to the future of the Burn, one of the biggest threats is the loss of farming from the landscape. And that's happening all the time. It doesn't really make economic sense to farm some of the hills of the Burn anymore, but it makes huge environmental sense and social sense to keep those communities alive in farming. That's what we really want to do.
Have either of you, in either of the strands that you're looking at, have you ever received blowback, criticism, somebody who, or maybe a group of people who, say farmers who think, that's because for economic reasons what you're suggesting, Brendan, won't work, or tourism businesses who say to yourself, Carol, well, look at, you know, we have to look at the bottom line before we look at everything else around us. Have you received anything along those lines?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that would have been, you know, the attitude at the very beginning, perhaps, you know, with some businesses, and I just want to focus on the tourism businesses. But I think anybody who is interested in the long, has any kind of vested interest in the burn in the long term, really would see that the sustainability of the burn, as Brendan has pointed out, is the ultimate aim. And people, yeah, the thinking has actually changed over the years. We would have had a core group of businesses that would have really been very environmentally aware at the very beginning of the project. And I think they acted as very good ambassadors for this type of thinking and this approach to their business. And so gradually people have begun to kind of join because they can see that the momentum has grown. And they can actually, as you know, as Brendan referred to, it's action really that speaks louder than words. So we could be, you could be talking about this for years, but when businesses see other businesses thriving on this sustainable program, and really, you know, seeing the long game, seeing the long, you know, having the long term vision for this, then others have followed. So it has, it has worked.
And I suppose from the farming point of view, our scheme is entirely voluntary. If you want to be part of it, you can join. If you don't, you can stay out. If you do join and you don't want to do anything, that's fine. We won't pay you. But if you want to if you want to join and do something, then we'll pay you when you deliver. And it's very much, farmers really respect that. We pay them when they deliver. If you don't want to deliver, that's fine.
There's a high take-up as well, though. I mean, you're so cognitive voluntary, but...
Yeah. We're fortunate at the moment, Gavin, that we have sufficient funding to accommodate most applications at this point. So we hope that by next year we'll have basically 90% of farmers, which is pretty much everybody who's going to be interested, they'll all be able to have a place in the programme, which is fantastic. And again, it's a testament to the success of the initial project which informed it.
Where does this go for your programme, Brendan, going forward in terms of that funding? Because obviously it's all contingent on that to a certain extent. Is that secure into the future?
Thankfully, yes. We're very fortunate. We've got.
And I'd say that was a big fight.
It's been a 20-year battle, to be honest with you. There's a fight every year, but I think thanks to some amazing local leaders in the Burn who remain unnamed, and I think thanks to the partnership that's taking place, we have secured funding for the next 7 years, and we're hopeful that the model we've piloted in the Burn is now becoming a model which is adopted elsewhere in Ireland and in Europe, and hopefully, given that, we will expect future funding for 7 years beyond that and beyond that again. So the long-term funding and future for this type of project is actually very positive.
And for yourself, Carol?
Well, at the moment, we're at the last year of our particular programme. And again, you know, the model that we've created around, you know, the network and the criteria for being part of the network, which is a very much, you know, you have to do a whole programme of sustainability and prove that you're being sustainable in a range of different ways. That's a model that's, you know, that's been looked at all along, you know, the west coast of Ireland and also other parts of Ireland as well. And the geoparks in the rest of Europe too, you know, they are very interested in it. So the transferability of that model is really, you know, is something that's sought.
But in terms of the, you mentioned that the programme coming to an end, but will there be a
this particular life programme? Yes, and that's what we're working on. It's called the afterlife plan, would you believe? And so right now what we're doing is we're looking back, you know, we're looking to streamline it in such a way that it's not too expensive to keep the programme going in the future. And like that's, at the moment, we're in negotiations phases, so we'll be able to announce something by the end of the year.
Well, we hope for good news. The afterlife plan might be appropriate for a place that some would say is a small bit of heaven on earth.
Exactly.
But we wish you the best of that. But even culturally, I mean, you talk about the transferability, the ethos that people have, the mindset that people have, that's embedded now.
It
hopefully,
is, very you know, much so. And it does take time. Mm. It takes time. And I think Brendan mentioned 20 years and we've been, you know, working on this for the last almost 10 years now. So, you know, it takes time and the investment is there.
You also need help from our listeners and you need votes, which I don't know who's going to tell you.
That's right, yeah. So, like we said, the Burn Life Project has been shortlisted to be one of the best five life nature projects, one of the best 15 life projects of all time. That's over 25 years. But to get it to number one, we'd love you to give it your vote. And I think, now, I don't use Facebook very much, so maybe a lot of your listeners don't, but if you could ask your children to get on Facebook, the Burn Programme website or Burn Programme Facebook page, and just like the Burn Life Project. And I think it's a vote for the Burn and it's a vote for the farmers of the Burn. And it's the only Irish project that's in the shortlist. So hopefully we can appeal to your sense of country and national patriotism and get
local
behind the farmers of the Burn.
Yeah. Local pride and everything else as well. And it would be great to see you know, the burn winning
absolutely,
in something such as
for
this.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll share the link as well. If people look up our own blog or our Twitter account at Clare FM, I'll have the link of it here in front of me and I'll put it up very shortly
Thank
as well.
You, Kevin.
So people will find it there.
And one last thing, could I give a quick plug to the Burn and Bloom Festival, which is coming up. It's organised by the amazing Burn Beyond Trust, a local charity, and it's showcasing the amazing flora of the burn to the world. So I think it's happening this month and starting off at a very early morning with Gordon Darcy, 5:30 a.m. Dawn Chorus event coming up very soon. Check out burnandbeyond.com for details.
Looking up forward, and you've got a busy summer as well in store.
Yeah,
we've got
quite a lot going on, particularly with the food trail, and there's an awful lot of activities there. So again, check out burn.ie for all of the various activities that are happening.
Carolyn, Brendan, good to be cheap and good
all
to talk
right.
to you again.
Okay.
We'll share that link shortly. Thanks very much, both of you, for joining us in the programme.
You're welcome.
Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.